Well, good morning. I was blessed and kind of leaped. You turned to Ecclesiastes as the opening. Where am I going to be today? In Ecclesiastes. He didn't know it. I didn't know it from him. And then Brother Jeff emphasized the theme of joy. So the Lord, this is his church in the earth. He knits it together. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Be the first time I've ever just preached on this one verse. God's precious word. Hold that spot. May the Lord bless Lee's sabbatical. Jeff did not say to delete his number. Don't do that. I'm going to keep it. But may the Lord bless your time, brother. You're a faithful laborer. We welcome Jeff back in his labors. In our commitment as pastors, elders, in our commitment to bolster each of the married couples in the church, we had the marriage retreats. How many of you got to go on one or more of those? Raise your hand. Okay, yeah. 2021, 2022, and 2023. The blessing of those, the uniqueness of those times. Our whole motive was to bolster the marriages. They were special times that we were under teaching, meaning listening, participating, sharing, having breakout small groups, and then some very fun activities. Again, the theme is to build up and help the marriages. But this year, in God's providence, 2024, we are not having marriage retreats. We're not doing that same format. So it's been on my heart. I asked the brothers a few weeks ago, I said, can I just have a pause point in 2024 and speak on this theme again? May God help us. You young people, those that are single, those that are desiring one day to be married, listen today. Listen today. Let God's word come to you. Sons and daughters, young people, those of you who are a marrying age that are longing for God's will in your life. So today is this reflection point, and I want it to be truly from God's word. I want it to be an exhortation that comes to you with freshness, whether you've been married a few months or several years. I want you to hear this and just contemplate, meditate. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, one great verse from God's word, very clear, and needed for every couple. I'll read the text in the ESV, and then I'll pray briefly. God's word. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Amen. Father, this is your word. It lives, it speaks, it takes authority in this room, it takes authority over our marriages. You're the creator and giver of marriage, and we thank you for that. What a gift of God, what a thing that you've given in the human experience. So we ask you, Lord, now by the power of your blessed Holy Spirit, to speak where we hear, where you move, where you help us, that you get to the heart. Lord, give help in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reflecting back that since my childhood, I've attended weddings of all types and sizes. You guys got one coming up pretty soon? All types and sizes. I was thinking back, you know, when you're 10 years old, I mean, maybe you girls will disagree with me, but you know, going with your parents to a wedding when you're 9 or 10 years old and you're a boy, it's really not how you want to spend a Saturday, just to be real honest. But then I'd get a little older, right? I'm 14, and then I'm 17, and then I'm 19, and I'm married. But I've been to weddings of all types and sizes, and I'm estimating, conservatively, I've probably been to 50 weddings in my life. It hit me. I thought, you know, maybe 12 or 18. I'm like, wait a minute, Philip. You're getting to be old. You've been to a lot of weddings. I had kids that have married, and I've seen Max children marry and others, different ones in here through the years. We've had a lot of weddings, marriages come through the church. But in all of them, without exception, from when I was 10 in this town going to weddings up until even recent months, every wedding that I've been to has one atmosphere to it, one theme. Couldn't help but do this. That's right there. Every wedding I've been to, ours had, what, 22 people there, family, 21, something like that. I've been to weddings that had hundreds. Darius and Rachel, y'all are probably listening. Y'all kind of blew the lid off of it. That was amazing. That was a remarkable wedding. But all of them, the theme is joy. They're joyful, without question. If you're bummed out, you don't need to be at the wedding. You need to get out of there. Somebody needs to escort you out, because weddings are about joy. Joyful brides and joyful grooms. Joyful music and joyful ceremonies. Joyful receptions and joyful send-offs. I could go on and on, right? It's just joy. That's the air. That's the setting. It's festive. It's full of happiness. Yes, joyful. If you only saw weddings, you would think that everything was wonderful thereafter. If that's all you ever did is you went to weddings, you'd say, man, this is amazing. What a relationship that God gives. That's why storybook writers through the years have said, and they lived happily ever after. They started with this, but they lived happily ever after. But sadly, that is not so. It's not so. You know what I'm saying. Today is about helping. Today is about a big pause in your life, husbands, wives, those of you who are engaged, those of you who are thinking about marriage, hoping for marriage. Today is a day to let God's Word speak to you to bring change or renewal or refreshing or conviction, whatever He has today. But this is not to keep you in the same place. Me as a married man, you as married individuals. It's to bring me on more in the ways of God. In the ways of Jesus Christ, the joyful King of the earth. He is full of joy. We should be. As pastoring elders and shepherds, we're in the lives of the sheep, right? The flock. That's our heart. That's our desire, to be in the lives of the sheep. And so all the time, we realize the wedding with joy is maybe not that way after year 2 or 12 or 22. And there's a lot of hurts, and there's a lot of damage, and there's a lot of needs. So wherever you are as a couple today, let this one beautiful, living, God-breathed verse speak to you. Let it come to you with power, to you as a husband and you as a wife, and really hear it today. Even in Alan's teaching from the book of James, hear it and walk in it. Do it. Apply this wherever you are. I'm not trying to downplay things that come in and affect marriage. I'll mention several of those today, but I want to move quickly. Hear today God's precious word from Ecclesiastes 9:9, which was the theme verse for me many years ago when we were leaving to go to the airport on an anniversary trip, and Mac and Bob Jennings called us that morning, and Mac said, "Now, where are you going?" And I said my theme verse was Ecclesiastes 9:9. It ought to be a theme verse for every Christian marriage. One of many, so many great verses, but this one has such a wonderful theme. So three truths today, brothers and sisters, three main truths. The admonition that we have here, you could say command, but it's an admonition. It's speaking to those that are married. Second, the duration, and third, the gift. The admonition, the duration, and the gift, this thing of marriage. So first, let's go back to the text, the admonition. The admonition. The writer says there in verse 9 at the beginning, it says in the ESV, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Now, I'm loving more and more and using more and more the ESV, and I do love it. And of course, those of you who know me for a long time know that I'm a man who's spent decades in the King James, and I love it abundantly. But I really like the way the King James says it, where ESV says, enjoy life, the King James says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. Live joyfully. There it is. It's not some sort of a scientific formula, some sort of a complex thing that you eventually have to figure out and unravel. God just says to his people from his word, live joyfully or rejoice. Be joyful with your wife whom you love. What a statement. The King James and maybe 10 or 12, 13 other translations leave that phrase, live joyfully. But the majority of translations in the English go with that statement, enjoy life together or enjoy life with your wife whom you love. So it's just a bold, right there statement that's given to every married couple. It's the heartbeat, isn't it? It's the heartbeat of marriage. In a sense, this thing of joy, Christ in us, Christ together. But this thing of being joyful, it's such a pillar truth that comes to every one of you that's a husband and a wife, every couple. You can't say, well, you know, that worked for my grandparents, or I know some close friends, and maybe they figured that out. It's speaking to all of us, right? It just pours over in this room. It comes to every husband and every wife. You husbands and you wives are to be cultivating, keeping, maintaining joy, rejoicing. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's not, quote, simple in the sense of it just automatically happens. You have to give yourself to this. Beloved, you have to think this way, and then you have to act this way. It has to be something that we realize this is the way we're to relate together, but then it has to be from the heart. How we love and give ourselves to each other. Living joyfully is active. It's a constant awareness, alertness, a consciousness about who you are as a couple. There's a lot of things happening in your life. I get it. Week number one is not the whole timeline of a marriage. Years, decades, things in life, things that can be blows to you. I understand that. I'm not a novice in these things at all. But I'm speaking on behalf of God's glorious word. He says to his people and to those that are married, live joyfully. That's what he says to us. The weddings are just the beginning. There's just an opening ceremony, if you will. But the life together is to go on and to be continuing. We have to remember this is rooted, this theme of joy is rooted in the character of God. It's rooted in the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the joy giver. He gives us joy. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. These themes, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this thing of joy, this theme of joy is throughout the Scriptures from beginning to end. 187, 188 times, depending on what translation you look at. Joy, joyful, joyfulness. About two-thirds in the Old Testament, one-third in the New Testament. It's throughout the Scriptures, the living God, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, is the God of joy. This is not a side topic. It's not a side thing or an add-on to marriage after year 2 or 12. It's central into the character of God and the gift of God and the purposes of God in His people. This thing of joy. God is the giver of abundant joy. Exceeding joy, overflowing joy. It's throughout His glorious word. Christianity is the only religion. I appreciate it, Alan, you emphasizing religion today, because sometimes we want to stay away from that word. Christianity is the only religion of true joy in the earth from beginning to today of humanity. It is the only religion of joy. It's the only one that has the one true living God who rescues us, saves us, and then comes and dwells in us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. We have joy. Joy. So stay with me here. That's the massive theological reality of the great God that we serve, that we love, that we surrender to in His Son. So joy should be in us, and joy should be in our relationship to our dearest companion, our wife, or the wife to her husband. I mean, it's logical. It's biblical. It's the right way to see it and to think of it. Christianity is the religion of joy. If somebody's a visitor today and you've dabbled in other religions, you're not going to find joy in those religions. Jesus Christ is the joy giver. He is the joy example for all of us. So there's joy in worship. There's joy in singing. There's joy in fellowship, brother to brother, sister to sister, fellowship in this corporate sense. There's joy in trials. There's joy in His presence. There's joy in His Word. There's joy in holding a grandchild, right? There's joy in our pilgrimage in this earth because that's our great God and Savior. And therefore, joy in marriage is only right in God exalting joy. John Gill, 1700s. I like what John Gill said. This, speaking of marriage, is one of the greatest ways for enjoying life. Now, if I started getting really pressing in more closely, and I said, now then, I want y'all to raise your hand if you understand or if you feel like this is happening in your life as a couple. This thing of marriage is one of the greatest ways for enjoying life. Is that true for your marriage? If it's not, today's the time to really think on that and get honest before God and ask Him to come. Come. We all need Him in marriage. I'm not talking about man-created ways to make marriage better, that some working it up. Yes, you have to give yourself to it. We're trusting our great God. This is His gift. Joy in marriage. Gil is right. This is one of the greatest ways for enjoying life. I'm grateful to God that I got the privilege to marry at 19 years old and have this many decades together with my dear wife. It's quite a statement. It actually shocks people of the world, but tragically, a statement like that shocks Christians. It's one of the greatest ways for enjoying life. Remember, every wedding has this, children. Everybody sees this in weddings. Where does it go? What happened to this? Brother, sister, you need this all the days. If you get to marry, you need this. This is what God says for you. That's what He has for us. So John Gill is saying something that's just honoring Scripture. It's the gift of God. God gave Adam Eve, right? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And what does it say? And obtains favor from the Lord. It's a gift to him and to her. It's God doing in His great work for us, His glorious plan for us. It's a part of our journey in the earth to be married and for joy in the glory of God to shine forth from it. God's the God of joy. So John Gill is right, but there's many, many things that begin to strangle, or as I wrote here in my notes, to deflate or ruin joy in marriage. Boy, so many things. We'll take this piece of paper for a minute, move it aside. The other day, I took a piece of paper, and I said, I'm going to spend just as long as I can. I'm going to start writing down the things that can deflate or ruin marriage. What are those things? And I just started writing down on a piece of paper. I got to 25 of them with never stopping. I could do 75 of them, maybe 115 things. But you get the point. I'm trying to let this get our attention today, trusting the Holy Spirit to get our hearts and our all on this. Let me just read these quickly. These are 25 things that can deflate or ruin joy in your marriage. What is supposed to be this? Harsh words. Financial difficulties or carelessness, maybe. Extended family problems. Health struggles. Wearisome days, particularly in child rearing. Working too much. Men, be careful. Anybody in this room, be careful. Working too much. Overcommitment. What's that do to your marriage? teenage years, meaning just those challenges, those heartaches. Whoa. Worldly cares, sexual sin, unhealthy hobbies, broken communication. One of the top three cited reasons for ruined marriages in the United States has always been communications in the top three, or lack thereof. Holding grudges. He or she, I'm holding this. Internet addictions. Pornography. Careless spending and debt. Getting yourself in a pinch. It puts pressure, and it puts pressure on your marriage. And this goes away. Poor leadership by men. Men that aren't biblical. They don't walk as husbands in the right way. Loving, guiding, taking authority in the right way. Harsh. I could go on and on. Poor leadership. Wives who are rebellious. I'll do it my own way. A loss of trust. Constant criticism. It's hard to get through the list because these are tragic. These are sad. At one level or another, all of us have been a part of these things. Constant criticism. Total selfishness. Spiritual dullness. Lack of vibrancy with Jesus Christ affects your marriage. To love Him, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it pours over gloriously to marriage. To know and love Jesus Christ is to teach a husband how to know and love their wife in an awesome, undefined way by this world. To know Jesus Christ. Spiritual dullness, bad theology, just not being in the Scriptures, men and women, husbands and wives, not letting the Word of God wash you and shape you and guide you and lead you and correct you and humble you. Disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unrepented sin in marriage. Or an unwillingness to forgive. God help us. So what happens with this is these begin to do this. And all of a sudden what you've got left is one or two or 12 of these items right here that have ruined or robbing you of joy and causing your marriage to at best be on a respirator. Where's the glory of God in that? I understand many of these things, several of these things are real, health issues, difficult years in parenting. I understand that. But they're not to just squelch this. This is to be cultivated. This is what God has. I'm not being trite. Marriage experts, counselors, whatever. I would just say to them, you just sit in the room today. You just hear what God's Word says. God's not bargaining with anybody. He's speaking what, this is what He's intended. This is what He's given us. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Every husband that's at that wedding on that first day or that groom, they love that woman that they say, I do, to. I mean, that's like, yeah, Philip, we get it. What about month two or year seven? Or well, it should be bigger and more glorious, and it should be alive, and it should be seen, and it should be a testimony to this dying world that Christ is on the throne, He's in my life, and He's in my marriage. The glory of God in marriage. The redemptive theme of Jesus Christ and His love for His people should be sounded forth or shown forth in marriage. John Gill was right. It's one of the greatest ways for enjoying life and testifying of the majesty of Jesus Christ. These are connected. There are so many of these things, saints, right now. Even maybe you may be in the early years of your marriage, but these will creep in. Don't let these take root or begin to ruin you as a husband or you as a wife. Husbands, you are to recover and pursue joyful living with your wife in its full measure. I use the word recover. By the grace of God, some of you may not have hardly anything to recover. But maybe you need more exhortations on pursuing or continuing. Don't get dull. Don't get passive. Don't get too comfortable. She's still your bride to love. We don't get to play horse against each other, hoops. And I know I better be careful, even with that walking stick. I better be careful because she'll take me out. But it should be fun. It should be joyful. There should be life in it. There should be friendship in it. There should be the glory of Jesus Christ in it. Husbands, you are to recover and to pursue living joyfully with your wife. If necessary, make things right today. We could just cut out maybe 100 pastoral visits for the rest of the year if the Holy Spirit moves in you today and brings recovery and renewal in a glorious way. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just being honest. Husbands, if you need to make things right today and look at your dear wife and say, I am going to commit to cultivating joy from this hour forward, then do it. Then do it. Your Savior is worth it. Your wife and your covenant to her is worth it. And if you have children, they're worth it. And there's many others that are worth it. But God is worthy, your wife is worthy, and your children need to see that. They need to see that Dad really loves Mom. And you wives, you may be the drain on your marriage right now. You know what I mean by drain? You may be the cause of joylessness. It's tragic when a wife only wants to look back. Well, he was like this then. Or when we used to court, he was like this. I'm thinking, oh man, he should be here. And we're not going backwards. He needs to be here. He should be growing in grace. And if you wives, or if you have become the drain on your marriage, if you're the one bringing the whole thing down, I speak to you in your love today. Repent and turn and make things right. Joylessness in marriage is like a slow suffocation. No joy. Because it infiltrates so many aspects of day-to-day interaction. And yeah, with the house full of kids or whatever. Been there. Seen that. Those are long days. I understand these things. I didn't just write these things down because I had to go to Google them. I didn't have to Google anybody to get these 25 things. And there's many more. And they're real, and they're battles. And the enemy of your soul is against you, and this world is against you, and the culture is against you, and everything around you is against you. But Jesus Christ is your King, and He's your life giver. He's your hope. He's your joy. And He will help your marriage. You may have a great marriage, but it can be greater. It can be better. Yes, it can, by the grace of God. So if you sisters, if there's something in your marriage right now that you're holding back and you're draining it, make it right today with your dear husband and commit to him that you're going to live with joy with him. That what he does in pursuing you and what you do in pursuing or giving back to him, that you're both saying, I'm going to do it with joy. We're going to take these steps together. If you're already in that flow as a couple, then ask God to make it even double, more, that there would be joy. Because you can make these things right and you can live in this reality. God's not just speaking hypothetically. He's giving us these things. Yes, brothers and sisters, today is the day to seek God's grace together. He can do it. He can do it. Second, the duration. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest for the first 10 years. Not what it says. 6 months, whatever. It says in God's precious word, live this way with this joy all the days of your vain life. I'm going to look into that a little bit more here in a second. All the days of your life. So how long are you to cultivate joy in your marriage? As long as you have your life together. As long as you have each other. That's what he's saying here. God says, live this way all the days that I give you. I mean, this whole book, when Jeff went through this a few years back, with Ecclesiastes, it's constantly speaking of the brevity of life. So much of the vanity or the striving or the fleeting nature of things, right? But this is not a critique about the shortness of our days or the futility about our days necessarily. It just says, your life is short. Live with joy what I give you. As long as you live. There's not to be a stopping. It's just a wrong way of thinking for you as a couple to feel like, you know, all those days of what was really fun and joyful and vibrant in our relationship, I'm just going to assume that's gone. Wrong. Out with that. That's not what God gives. He increases. This thing of the Christian life and Christian relationships, and it increases. It's growing. Older couples, if I can put it that way, should be the most enjoyable to watch. Because, man, do they have a lot of years and experiences together. And if they have the real joy and friendship and bond, it speaks. It speaks to others who are watching, near or far, who would see their lives. So a few of the other translations here say it this way. Enjoy every day of your short life together. Enjoy every day of your short life together. Another one, all the days of your fleeting life. So it seems that God's speaking is this thing of joy with the one that you love is to move along. It's to keep going. That train of love and closeness is to just keep chugging along. That you would go forward with more of this, that it would grow in you. That you could even see it as you reflect back. You would understand and that it would even stir fresh joy and thanksgiving to God. This thing of scrolling, I tell you what, this can be overwhelming. Do you guys ever just get this out and go back through your photos? I had to find a photo the other day. It was 10 years old or something. Found one from 3 years ago to the day where I was sitting with my dad in Arkansas. And, you know, those emotions. But in a sense, when I scroll these photographs and I see travel and I see experiences for Chris and I see children and grandchildren and I see all these realities, it's like God saying, there's your life. It's fleeting. It's flying away. Live joyfully. It's what He's saying to us. Enjoy every day of your short life. It feels like at times it's futile. But the Christian life is not to be viewed as futile in any way. It's purposeful. It's given of God. What we're about, what you're strong at, what your areas of you're going to contribute to society, the things that you, how you see things. God's made you. But these things are unique to your days and your marriage, and they're to keep going together. All the days of your fleeting life, you don't have time to waste. If your marriage is struggling today, you don't have another day to waste of a marriage that's suffocating or on the verge of death. You don't have any more time, brother, sister. Today is the day to cry out to God and turn, to have life together in joy and absolutely a deep bond that's committed. So keeping this joy together is not for just the first year or two. It's all the days that you have, all of them. I mean, I oftentimes I've said to the younger couples when I love looking at their life, you're just in these early days. Let these build for big things and ongoing things. All the days. I shared this 2 years ago. I went back to my notes. So some of you are going to remember it. But when George Whitefield, the only time he had with Jonathan Edwards, y'all remember this story? On a weekend when he was in the United States, George, the great brother, the great man, George Whitefield, God's instrument, and he was in a struggle in his life. He was struggling with a lot of things at that time. You have to read the biography to remember, but all of a sudden he gets a weekend with Jonathan and Sarah Edwards, and there's a lot going on in their house. A lot of kids, a lot going on, a lot of activities. Whitefield, this great brother, this traveler, this man who'd seen a lot of different people in a lot of different places, went into that weekend and came out of it a better man. It stirred him. It gave him fresh joy. He's just in the home of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. He's just with them for a couple of days. It's bigger than that. He was seeing things. He was in the air of their marriage, their life, their family, the culture of their family. And the Holy Spirit used it for George Whitefield deeply. And here's what he said. A sweeter couple I have not yet seen. He wrote that in his notes, his journal. A sweeter couple, meaning they had joy, they had closeness, they had friendship, they had devotion. And Whitefield saw it, and it stirred him in his inner man for the glory of God. It moved him. Beloved, your marriages are big in God's plan. They're huge for His name's sake, for your good, for your growth. God says that live joyfully all the days of your life. Matthew Henry put it this way, your days are fleeting. Yes, they are, Brother Matthew. You will have sorrow and grief. Matthew Henry knew about that. Therefore, live joyfully together. Matthew Henry saying, yes, time's moving quickly. You'll have heartache. You'll have sorrows. You'll have grief. What did he say? Therefore, live with joy right now. Don't let those things rob you. Don't let those things overcome you. Now, you may be sitting there today at this point, and I realize it. You may be sitting and saying, Philip, it's too late. My marriage is hopeless. You may be sitting there thinking that. Or somebody at home, somebody might be listening to this, and you may be thinking, there's no way I can have joy like that ever again with my spouse. That's not true. It is not true. Our God is great, and He can do all things. He can do all things. He designed marriage. He gives marriage. He loves marriage. And marriage is about the glory of His name in the earth. If He's the great joy giver, and marriage is His gift, what He gives to us, then His name can be exalted in it. You do not have to say it's over, or there's no way we can have joy. God can do it. What you can't do, He will do. Every man, every husband in here needs to say, I'll sign up for that. I want more of the power and the movings of God in my heart to be a better Christian, to be a better husband, full of joy with my wife. God can do it. This is not just a saying. I'm not just trying to create a wall hanging. I'm talking about He can do it. He has power to do it. Your marriage tonight, before you go to sleep, before y'all end your night together, can have such fresh joy and tears and laughter or whatever that God will be exalted in it. We just have to believe Him for great things. If you feel defeated or that there's just no way, you need to just cast that aside and say, Lord God, come and help us do it. We love You. All of you, we love marriage as shepherds. We love getting to do the retreats, and we love to try to build you up and all, but we chiefly want God's glory in His imprint on your marriage, that what He can do, not what men, not what retreats can do, what God will do. That's what you need. So if you're at that point of saying, I think it's hopeless, Philip, you need to look to the one great God and Savior. He can do it. Cry out to Him for great things. Yes, brothers, sisters, your days are flying by. There's no time to waste. No time to waste. Let me hurry along. I'll move quickly here. First is the admonition. This is how do you live together. Second, the duration. This is how you're to continue to be together. Yes, with hard things. Yes, with wearisome days. Yes, with financial challenges or health issues or whatever it may be. Yes, but joy in it. Joy in the Holy Spirit. But third, the gift. Go back to the text. Because that is your portion in life, in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Because that is your portion in life. There's a lot of unique things you can read on this passage. Just Ecclesiastes, different men through the centuries, different men and how they look at it and the word structure and all. But the flow is, God says, live joyfully, keep it going. This is your portion. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. This is your portion. It's something that's been handed to you, given to you of God, and therefore you're to be a steward of it. A couple other translations. This is your reward. How do you brothers think about that when you look at your dear wife? This is a reward. This is a gift to you. Another translation. The wife God gives you is your best reward. As I said to my daughter Bethany that time, she was teasing me. Her favorite was there. It was a joke. I said, I don't have any favorites. I said, yeah, I do. Mom's my favorite. And then I got all the rest of you guys. And she said, oh, Dad, everybody knows that. That's what they should know. That's what they should know. Unashamedly, I'm joyful in marriage. I have a joyful, glorious, reigning Savior who's taught me in all of my weakness and failure. He's taught me more how to love her and have joy with her. What a gift. This is your portion in life. This is your reward. This is what God gives. He that findeth a wife, meaning God gave her to you. Let's don't get too much credit going our way. Those of you who are single, hear this. Let it stir you. Let it give you a heart that's ready if marriage is coming for you. I would much prefer you just to be immersed in the Scriptures than to go start reading a whole bunch of books about potential marriage one day. Just let God come over you like a waterfall. Let's let Him speak. Take the Scriptures and look at these themes and go back to the New Testament. Yes, Paul in Ephesians, but look at these themes. Look at God. God giving marriage in Genesis. Think of this gift of God. Think of the men in the Old Testament who wept when their wives passed. Man, it was big, big heart things. So your marriage is a gift. Husbands, your wife is one of the greatest gifts you'll ever have. You wives, your husband is one of the greatest gifts ever you would ever have in this life. I would say second only, chiefly, is the gift of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. But to be given a spouse in the earth, what a gracious God. What a great God. So if it's a gift, how do you think about a gift? What do you do with a gift? You receive it. You cherish it. You want to hang on to it. You want to make sure that it's, you esteem it or hold it with a prize as a prized possession. You know the thought. You know the concept of this. Jesus said about Himself to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of Him. You would have asked of Him, Jesus. Here is this gift. God gives a man to a wife and a wife to a man. This giving, this two that become one, it's His gift and it's a reward. It's something to be cherished. It's something to be guarded, defended. Yes, I do like that word, to be cherished. To be cherished, because it's not something that you can create, right? Target and other stores, they can't make this. They don't make these things. Manufacturers, you can't make marriage. God makes marriage. God gives marriage. This society is so walked away from it because they hate God. They hate His truth. And marriage is just one of those aspects. It's a gift of God. Whereas Christians ought to have a renaissance, if you will, of the glory of God in marriage. The beauty of it. The joy of it. It's to be cherished. Did you cherish this gift on your wedding day? Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is for your kids or anybody with here. Some kids never see their parents happy together. They're kind of wondering, how did they ever get married? What's the deal here? Think about that. You talk about an indictment that your kids are wondering, how did mom and dad ever have it? If you know what I mean. Some people say, do they have it? Well, you're talking about joy. You're talking about love. You're talking about the real thing. Well, if they're in Christ, they should. That's the facts. And if they have it, they should preserve it. They should possess it with the greatest of honor and respect and discipline to keep it. So yes, you had it on your wedding day. Yes. 44 summers ago, this young guy had it that day. I had joy. Praise be to God for His mercy. But how about today? I got more joy today than I had 44 years ago. I'm just going to say that. And my kids need to see that, and my grandkids need to see that, and you need to see that in your shepherds. We need to see this in each other. God's Word, even in how, elders and deacons and their lives, their relationship to their wives, these things are all interconnected. The glory of God is in this. But I'm emphasizing here that it's a gift. Did you cherish this gift on your wedding day? How about today? Are you cherishing your wife or your husband? That's between you and the Lord. I, I'm, I'm not trying to force anything. I just trust the Holy Spirit today that this is His and all that He has for all of us. I'm not trying to produce anything. He'll bring the results. Another great quote by John Gill. God has granted you these days together. Enjoy them. Cherish them. That brother was on it, wasn't he? That's back in the 1700s. What did they know? They knew a lot. Possibly a lot more than we know, these men. Ask George Whitefield. God changed the course of his life in a weekend with Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. I can't remember, but I don't think he heard Jonathan preach. I'd have to go back and look. Maybe he did, but it was just being in their home, being around them. Let me wrap up. A joyful marriage. This is what God's Word says, and this is His way. This is His way. A joyful marriage. Joy in Him. Joy together. So how about you? How about your marriage? Commit your heart and your life to your spouse today to be more joyful. God will give mercy and help. God will move in the heart. God will give fresh perspective for you and your spouse. May He do it. May it be genuine. May it be lasting. I'm not just asking or bringing these things forth for a few days or a week. I'm talking about a whole new way of seeing it and a devotion to honor God's Word and honor your spouse. Lord God, help. Let me pray. Father, we do look at this verse, even this whole book here, with awe. Thank you for this verse. Thank you for the teaching, the directness, the pointedness, speaking to husbands and wives to live joyful all the days that you give us. It is a gift, Lord. So work today. Magnify your glory. Help all of us. Help the marriages that are really struggling, Lord. Turn them for good. Lord, we ask you for your name's sake.